Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Gals of Geekdom podcast. I am one of your hosts, Crystal Williams. My pronouns are she, her, and I am joined by my equally lovely, talented, amazing co-host, Ashley.
Hi, everybody. Yes, as you heard, I am Ashley. My pronouns are she, they, and it is just me and Crystal on this episode of Gals of Geekdom tonight.
It's just a little private conversation on a Saturday evening, even though you'll probably hear this on Monday.
Probably. More like definitely. That's our schedule, is it not?
Yes, that is my schedule that I have stuck to and tried to hit consistently throughout this whole thing.
Unless there's some twists and turns, I mean, it's
hey, whether, speaking of twists and turns, something.
I was going to say, God damn it, you took my joke from me. You took my joke from me.
Speaking I am a joke of thief. Turns,
M. Night Shyamalan.
Hey, M. Night Shyamalan, filmmaker who just put out his recent movie, Knock at the Cabin.
Yes, it is an adaptation of a book called The Cabin at the End of the World. I have not read the book myself, but I am familiar with the changes that were made in the movie. So I'll keep it brief since Crystal has never seen Knock at the Cabin, although I assume she will in the coming days. I really liked it. It's definitely one of Shyamalan's better movies. I mean, there's still like the usual Shyamalan issues present in the movie. Like, there's some really weird, you know, lines. There's some awkward acting at times. But I really found myself intrigued with the story and the characters. And yeah, I'm sorry I'm being a little vague, but like I said, I can't really talk about it seeing as how Crystal has never seen it. But
it's also it also stars a gay couple at the center of it, right? A gay fan.
That is true. They're the main characters are a gay couple and their adopted daughter.
One of them's played by what's his name?
Jonathan Groff.
Jonathan Groff, who my mind immediately goes to Agent Smith in the last Matrix movie, but like obviously, you know, Hamilton and a bunch of other things.
Frozen,
yes. Mindhunters on Netflix. Yes. He's in that too. He's a really good actor.
He is. Like, especially towards the end of this movie, his acting is really good.
Doesn't surprise me. He's talented, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to see him.
Yeah, and M. Night Shyamalan himself does make a cameo in the film, as he usually does
That's fun.
Yeah. But I think you'll like his cameo in this one. It's pretty funny.
That's cool. I'm trying to think of if I've seen... I feel like I've seen almost all of his movies.
All right, so let's go over him, shall we?
All right, we're going to go a little bit on Shyamalan's career.
All right, so first, obviously, there's The Sixth Sense.
Yep.
Yeah, we all know The Sixth Sense. It's a classic movie. I love The Sixth
Sense. Wait, don't spoil it for me. I don't know the ending.
Oh, you mean the ending where Bruce Willis was dead the whole time? Oh, sorry.
No!
Everyone knows the twist ending.
Yes, at this point, I've been a fan of Lonely Island, so you know, I know the twist ending.
Yes, I was telling Crystal this the other night, but I am jealous of how intricately constructed The Sixth Sense is as a thriller.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Shyamalan. This is peak Shyamalan. Well, second to peak Shyamalan, because his next movie is Unbreakable, which is my personal favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Unbreakable is a fantastic superhero movie.
Oh yeah, very underappreciated.
More like a superhero thriller movie. It really tries to, it's like simultaneously embracing superhero tropes, but it also like is trying to subvert them a little bit.
I mean, I know he's made a couple movies before The Sixth Sense, like
Wide Awake. It says Praying with Anger. Wide Awake. Yeah.
Wide Awake and Praying with Anger, but I haven't seen either of them.
I don't think most people have, but I think starting off the list with a film that everybody like knows him for is probably a good one. He also was the screenwriter on Stuart Little.
Yes, he was.
Yes. Where I tweeted this not long ago, but Stuart Little in the book is not a mouse. He's a human child who just happens to look like a mouse.
All right. Yes.
Did you not know that?
I find that a very amusing fact about M. Night Shyamalan. Kind of like how Quentin Tarantino did uncredited work on the script for It's Pat. I am not making that up.
Oh, or like Joss Whedon's, well, you know, his work on the Toy Story script that people forget.
Yeah, he was a contributor to the screenplay of Toy Story.
Yeah. I just
get that.
Oh, I know. It's just like one of those, you know, filmmaker, writer sort of little things that are interesting. Yeah.
You're just contributing to the convo about that.
Right. I'm not making a commentary on the man himself.
So yeah, Sixth Sense was great, Unbreakable was great, but he peaked with those two movies, unfortunately. In my opinion.
I think the first film that I saw of his, I think like on my own, was Signs.
Yeah,
that all was the way back in like 2002 or 3. And I that was a movie that I loved. And I still think is really good.
I like Signs. And what's interesting is that when that movie came out, there were publications that were seriously calling him like the next Spielberg. And with those three movies, like, I don't blame them. Like, those three movies are pretty good.
I know Signs in more recent years has gotten more of a harsher treatment, but I still like that movie.
Yeah, I do too. But when it comes to movies that got a harsher treatment, let's talk about his next movie, The Village.
The Village I only saw once in theaters, and honestly, I was at the time a little disappointed. But again, this is 2004, so I was young, so I'd have to go back and watch it again to have a full actual opinion on it. Okay.
But, you know, one thing that is really weird about this movie is that the marketing that M. Night Shyamalan himself regrets approving, by the way, it marketed the movie out to be this, like, monster movie, this creature feature, this, you know, spooky horror movie, when in reality it was a romance movie.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. It wasn't what it was supposed to be. That's a problem with a lot of
like movies. When people went into this movie, they were expecting, you know, a monster movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that that's part of why, you know, there was a backlash against that movie when it came out. The other part of the backlash being, of course, the twist ending.
Do you like the twist or no?
I don't hate the twist, but, like, it did come kind of out of left field for me.
Okay. I do know people have softened up about that movie over the years, too.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Roger Deakins was actually the cinematographer for that movie.
Oh. Well,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, you may know him as the cinematographer for films such as The Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a little film. Just a small film.
This small little independent obscure movie. No one's ever
heard of. Yeah.
Alright. Okay, so that's The Village. Next up is Lady in the Water.
Yeah, that was pretty dog shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it dog shit, but this is definitely the movie where Shyamalan began to tank in most general audiences' minds.
Maybe it was a little harsh, but it's way funnier to call it dog shit.
I mean, like, it's less dog shit and more, like, I want to say insufferable, but, like, the bits where M. Night Shyamalan was playing, like, the writer, those got on my nerves. I'll say that.
Hmm. It's been a long time since I've seen that one, too.
Yeah.
And can we get to the worst one?
No. It's, again, I wouldn't call this next one the worst one, but it is definitely.
I will say it's the worst one I saw in theaters of Shyamalan. Happening. Was The Happening. I went opening day, opening weekend, and fucking hated it.
I literally made hot dogs to have for dinner just so to put me in the right state of mind to talk about this movie. You love hot dogs, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, hot dogs get a bad rep. They got a cool shape, got protein. You like hot dogs, right?
I just think about him going, no. What?
No. Oh, my God.
I don't know how that movie just fumbled. Like, it fumbled everything.
Albert Einstein said that if bees were extinct, mankind would be extinct. What do you guys think about that? Take an interest in science, Jake.
The Happening, I do not, I mean, if you want to laugh at awkward lines, I would recommend just finding them on YouTube.
Rockers.
I don't recommend people going through the actual movie unless they want to, but.
No, The Happening to me is on the same level as The Room and Birdemic.
The thing is, I enjoy The Room and Birdemic.
I enjoy The Happening too. Like, it's legitimately a really
fun. I think movie. I maybe hate it more because I was excited opening day seeing it, hoping for a Cole Shyamalan R-rated horror movie, and I got that.
Yeah, because that was like a huge part of the marketing for the movie was that it was going to be rated R.
Because like, he hadn't done that before.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you. After the movie was released, then Shyamalan was like, yeah, it's supposed to be a B movie. You're supposed to, you know, watch it and laugh at it. I don't know how much I believe that, though.
That sounds like a Tommy Wiseau thing. How he said that The Room was actually meant to be a dark comedy afterwards.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how much I believe that either.
No, you don't believe it.
Not for 1 second.
Not for 1 second, especially if you read Greg Sestero's book about it.
All right. Now, next up, we got two movies of his that I absolutely do hate. The Last Airbender and After Earth.
So, I have intentionally avoided seeing anything in The Last Airbender outside of some clips because I love Avatar too much and I don't want to be angry.
Wait, you said you love Avatar?
The cartoon.
Oh, dang it. I thought I was going to get you to say that you liked the James Cameron movies.
No, there's only one Avatar, and it's The Last Airbender.
No. There's Avatar, and there's Avatar The Last Airbender. There's a difference.
No. It's Avatar The Last Airbender, and then the movie where blue cat people fuck each other.
James Cameron got the rights to Avatar first.
Sure, Jan.
All right, anyway, back to this. There's not much I can say about The Last Airbender that hasn't been said already. It's dog shit. You all know it.
Yeah. Everything I've seen looks like it'll piss me off.
Although I will say this. It was a movie that I saw when I was 11 years old, and my elementary school went on a field trip to the movie theater. And it was my first movie theater experience where I'm sitting down in the theater and I'm thinking, wow, this sucks.
This is ass.
Yeah. Like, I just could not believe what I was seeing. Like, and yeah, I was a fan of the cartoon, like, as a lot of people my age were at the time.
Yep.
So just seeing my beloved cartoon betrayed like this, it just got to me.
You know a movie I went to the theaters with for my class? 2002's Clockstoppers.
What?
Do you know Clockstoppers?
No, I do. It's just, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Dang.
I'm old.
All right, so that's
that movie is a masterpiece. It's cinema. It should have won all the awards.
Oh yeah, I'm not disputing this. I'm not disputing this.
You don't understand how brilliant it is that somebody came up with the idea that your clock can be used as a time machine to stop time.
It's brilliant. Like,
it's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
That's actually a direct quote from Martin Scorsese.
Cinema.
Cinema. That's what he means when he talks about cinema.
All right, moving on to After Earth.
What happened to Before?
Like I said, that's another movie that I absolutely hated. Like, I was bored out of my mind watching that movie.
I did not see it, so I have no opinions.
But I'll say this. When you take Will Smith, an actor who is naturally very charismatic and likable, and you make him into an emotionless robot, that is quite a feat.
That's deserving of some praise for that.
No, it's not deserving of praise. It's an achievement, not an achievement that is good.
You...
This isn't a Rask deck. Like, and apparently they got like some linguist to come in and figure out what human language would sound like 1,000 years from now, but that really was not necessary because they just sounded like clowns the entire time. Yeah. In the classroom, you are an outstanding ranger.
Interesting concept. Sounds like it failed.
But that was mostly Will Smith's baby, not M. Night Shyamalan's.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know how much I would blame M. Night Shyamalan for that one. Ditto for The Last Airbender, because he actually was a fan of the show.
Yeah. I'm not sure of any behind the scenes issues with that. So.
Okay. And then M. Night Shyamalan did a sort of comeback with The Visit, which is a cheesy, fun little found footage horror movie.
I like that movie. I remember liking it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Don't think it was like anything spectacular, but I think I remember enjoying it when I saw that.
But like compared to After Earth, it was a huge step in the right direction.
Yes.
All right, and then after that, he did Split, which was another huge step in the right direction. I love Split.
I love Split as well. Probably mainly because of James McAvoy's performance, but also just the movie was really interesting.
Yeah, like, I'm mad that he did not get at least an Oscar nomination for that role.
It was phenomenal.
It was. It really was. I liked it.
That's a movie I recommend.
But I will say that this next one is one I actually have not seen. Glass.
I saw it. Yeah.
And how was it?
Eh. like it's ambitious to try and bridge the gap between Split and Unbreakable as like a connected superhero universe. And I think some of the actors really do care about it. And I could see it through some of their performances and stuff. But the execution, to me, was kind of poor. Like, it has kind of a bad ending. I'm not going to spoil it, but it just was really strange and didn't click. It was like he was trying way too much all at once, you know?
Right.
I think he's better with these smaller, like, scale films.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he did next with Old, which I thought was okay.
I didn't see it, but...
Like, I think I gave it a 6 out of 10 when I reviewed it on Letterboxd, but yeah, I liked Old.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet, so...
You should.
I will. I'm just not in a rush, you know?
And then, of course, that brings us to present day with Knock at the Cabin, which I said was pretty good.
Oh, I guess we could mention his other movie, Devil, that he wrote, that he didn't direct.
I mean, I guess that could be considered a Shyamalan movie.
but I mean, he didn't direct it.
Yeah, but it's usually brought up in the conversations about his work.
I actually did not mind Devil. I mean, like, it's not a great movie. It's not even a good
movie. It's a fine movie.
Yeah, like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
I kind of like it.
Whatever. I briefly want to talk about, I think I brought it up once before, but in terms of his work, which he's not the main creator on, but he directs enough of it, and he has his hands kind of like all over it to mention, The Servant on Apple TV. I think that's some of his best work recently. I think it's genuinely really good. I think I told you what it's about already. I think I may have done
that. Yeah, you did. I still have yet to check it out.
It's good. It's got some very Shyamalan moments, especially with the acting and the performances. But for some reason, in this show, the weird and awkward scenes, I think, benefit it because it's a show about atmosphere and building that atmosphere and that tension, you know? And I think some of those quirky line deliveries and those moments of, like, awkward comedy kind of makes these characters a bit more well-rounded. So I think it actually adds in that department. I will say, though, if you're looking for a show that moves its story along, maybe look somewhere else, because the show is not very much about, like, giving you answers. It's more about raising questions after questions and building atmosphere.
Right.
But it's good. I recommend it.
Okay.
So that's just my thoughts. I know nobody else I know watches that show. I don't think a lot of people have Apple.
All right. So that was M. Night Shyamalan's career.
I wanted to bring up something before we ended on Shyamalan's career. This whole discussion and our jokes around his movies is just containing to the fact that, obviously, we were criticizing the movies for the movies. I had raised the question on Twitter about the fact that a lot of people, especially white people, have taken to their criticism of Shyamalan, and it feels like some of it, whether intentionally or not intentionally or whatever, has been racially motivated because he is a non-white filmmaker. So I just wanted to say that, like, our conversation here is more like a retrospective of the man's work, with respect to him as a person, because we don't deal with that bigotry bullshit around here.
Yeah, absolutely not. And plus, you know, yeah, Shyamalan seems like, you know, like a nice, genuine guy to work with.
Like, every interview I see of him, he looks very sweet and genuine. Like, very passionate, very...
Yeah, he clearly loves what he's doing, and I think he should keep doing it.
I think so, too. I think anyone with a passion for art should keep creating, even if they're terrible at it. Not saying he's terrible, but I'm just saying in general.
He's far from, like, terrible. Yeah. Like, he is one of the more unique filmmakers working today. Now, whether that's good or bad is really up to the viewer, but one cannot deny, like whenever Shyamalan's name is attached to a movie, like, there's interest in it. And that's been in the fact that, you know, his films are profitable.
People do respond to his work.
People go to see them.
Yeah. I think films like Sixth Sense and Unbreakable and Signs have proven that, like, people are at least willing to give him a shot, you know, regardless of the quality of the actual end product. But I would say he's done more good than bad.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's really only two movies, dang, I can't speak tonight.
It's okay.
That I absolutely hate, which are, as I said, Last Airbender and After Earth.
That's fair. Kind of my point about, like, an artist should create art whether or not they're good or not. A movie I love, which has some problematic people in it. I love Tim Burton's Ed Wood. I think that's one of his best movies he's ever made. And one of the reasons why I love it, besides it being a queer story, maybe not the most well-handled queer story, but a fairly decent one, I think I love it because it's a celebration of the artists who have this need and this drive and this passion to create something and will continue doing it because they love the art.
Right.
So, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I guess kind of related to that, I just saw The Fablemans, which is a film about an artist as well.
Yes, yes, this is Spielberg at making like a sort of semi-autobiographical movie. Like there are aspects of the movie that are that definitely apply to him when he was a kid, and it, like relating to that, there are people criticizing this movie as self-indulgent when I wouldn't say it's self-indulgent.
No, I think that's really unfair because the film, it's obviously not trying to show him as some sort of filmmaking genius. It's more about dealing with the own emotions that he had from having a family like that, having parents who divorced and dealing with the repercussions of that and how he uses art to cope from that. That's not what I would call self-indulgent. If it was self-indulgent, I think it would be like, it'd be like an autobiographical movie where he makes himself the absolute hero and he is the most genius person and no one understands his vision. That's a, you know, that's a self-indulgent for me. It's a
very personal movie from Steven Spielberg and I loved it.
Loved it too. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Michelle Williams, Paul Dano, like even Seth Rogen, like all the performances were great.
Seth Rogen is such a, I think he's kind of, he's mainly known for a lot of people for his comedy, but I think when he gets a chance to show off his dramatic side, he kills it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's very good. He's also very charming.
Paul Dano had quite the year this year. He had this, and he had the Batman.
He did, and he was great in both. It was really interesting to see him play a father in this. And he does so well.
It really demonstrates his range as an actor because this and the Riddler could not be any more different.
No. And he convincingly played both.
Indeed he did.
But,
you know, spoilers if y'all haven't seen The Fablemans yet, but.
Yeah, spoiler time. Just a little bit.
That scene at the end with David Lynch as John Ford had me, like, utterly floored. I love that scene.
I love Lynch. I love his films, and I think he's an awesome and interesting guy. And I actually really do love when he is in movies or shows and makes cameo appearances. But that whole scene with Ford was amazing. His cameo with that. I need to look up if they asked Spielberg about it. But what made them choose Lynch to play him?
Yeah, I'm wondering that too. I mean, not that I'm complaining.
Anytime I can, because from what I know, Lynch seems to really be a really good guy. I'm just very curious why they landed on him to do it. Like,
yeah, but I don't know. I still thought, you know, Lynch as Ford was very entertaining, even for like the small amount of time he was on screen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. If we're talking a little bit of spoilers, I also, this is at the actually beginning of the movie. I think the opening of the film with them going to see a movie and Sam being scared of going into the theater and his dad calmly telling him how the projector works and the technology, I think that scene really does a great job of setting up that character very well. And I think I was hooked the minute that came on and Paul Dano like just killed that line delivery and that monologue, you know, like I knew I was going to love it from that second on, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So, but I also trust, Spielberg. I love his work.
Spielberg is the GOAT for a reason.
He just made a fantastic adaptation of West Side Story with one of the best like film musical numbers, at least in like a long time. And then follow that up with a really personal movie about his own childhood. That's kind of amazing.
Like, that's, again, that's why he's the GOAT.
That's true. Yeah. So we'll see if he wins the Academy Award for this movie or not. I can totally see that happening, considering it's a personal movie and all that. But we'll just have to wait and see how that goes.
I think we discussed this last time, but he is a huge favorite to win Best Director.
And I wouldn't be mad. He made a fantastic movie, and he, you know.
Yeah, that he did. I really love The Fablemans, even though I prefer Everything Everywhere All at Once to win. And I still think it might win Best Picture. Like, I wouldn't be surprised and would be really happy if Steven Spielberg ended up winning Best Director.
I think it's hard when you're, like, doing these award shows to give the quote-unquote the best awards to certain movies.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really weird, especially since, like, how the fuck do you compare Everything Everywhere All at Once to The Fablemans? They're, like...
It's impossible. They're two completely separate things.
I mean, I can get thematically that they're both, in the end, kind of about love and family in some way. But the way they go about that is so vastly different. Like, you're going to want me to compare The Fablemans to Everything Everywhere? That doesn't make any sense.
It does not.
Or fucking Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick to Avatar The Way of Water.
Yeah. How? How do you compare that?
So, yeah, that's The Fablemans. We both loved it. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Next we are going to talk about what James Gunn has in store for DC.
By the way, I have to give James some prop for making a video to explain the slate and, like, just be kind of a little bit more open and honest about, like, the process. Even though I know that's opening him up to more hate.
I do respect that, like, he stressed that, like, we're not going to put these things into production until the script is completed and polished. So I do respect that, his commitment to that.
He also said he wants to make sure the artists are comfortable with it, too, and that every film feels right, which is very respectful, you know?
And, I mean, like, as someone who is starting to get, like, superhero movie fatigue, like, I'm actually kind of excited to see what he has in store for us, because James Gunn's superhero movies, or rather comic book movies, were amazing. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2 and The Suicide Squad were all amazing.
And Peacemaker, the show.
And Peacemaker, the show, yes. Like, he has proven himself time and time again to know how to helm a comic book movie. And
it's because he cares.
Of the entire DC universe.
If you told me a few years ago that he would be in charge, I would say, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, now here we are. We are in the timeline where James Gunn is in charge of the DC universe.
And I couldn't be more happy, because I'm really excited about the potential projects that are coming up. Like,
right, so let's have a look. Shall
we? Do you have a list? Do you have a list?
Yes, we do. Okay, well, first of all, we got the movies that are coming out this year. We got Shazam Fury of the Gods.
I still need to see Black Adam. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Black Adam 2. Yeah. The Rock was right when he said the hierarchy of DC, of power in the DC universe, is about to change. It did change, just, you know, not in his favor.
Not, well, I mean, that movie didn't do so hot.
No, it did not. And honestly, the more I think about it, the more I don't like it.
It's on HBO Max, so I'll see it, and I'll have to give you my thoughts on...
I gave it a 6 out of 10 when I first saw it, but thinking about it, like, the more I think about it, the more I don't like it.
And, random side thought, but so Black Panther is on Disney? Sorry. Black Panther is on Disney Plus right now, and I will see it, but not until next time. Next week. So,
yeah.
I wanted to see Fablemans first. But just saying that, so look forward, everyone who's listening, to my review of, my late review of Wakanda Forever.
And then you will see why Angela Bassett is a front runner for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, I have no doubt. She's been fantastic in everything I've seen, so I'm I'm looking forward to that. But back to the world of DC. We can push the Marvel aside for a second.
We got Shazam Fury of the Gods.
Which looks fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and then after that is The Flash, which, I mean, I'm not going to comb over the whole Ezra Miller controversies that they keep getting themselves into, but apparently this movie is what is going to, quote, reset, that's the word they keep using, the entire DC universe into what James Gunn has planned for it.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, and then later this year we're going to get Blue Beetle, which I am very much looking forward to.
Me too. I'm looking forward to that. Good character to choose, you know?
And then at the end of the year we have Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, which will be the end of the DCEU as we currently know it. Yeah, that will technically be the last movie in the DCEU.
Yeah, I see. But, like, it's all still connected because they're doing the multiverse shit in
In Flash, right? I don't know. We'll see how they handle that when The Flash comes out. But anyway, James Gunn said that his DC universe starts with Superman Legacy. That is coming out in 2025. James Gunn himself is writing the script, but we don't know who's directing yet. It probably will be him as well, but we don't know.
Very interesting. I think it's really interesting that he's approaching doing a Superman film himself.
Yeah, and like he also stressed that it's not an origin story, and like it's going to be more like a younger Clark Kent trying to, you know, come to terms with his Kryptonian roots and his upbringing in Kansas.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Everyone knows who Superman is, right? Like, I don't think they do need to reboot his origin again.
Oh, also, before I move on, James Gunn also stressed that this DCU will be connected across movies, TV shows, animated shows, and even video games.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, so like if there's going to be a game with Superman in it, it's going to be the one from Superman Legacy, and it's going to have the same actor.
That's pretty bold, and I like that. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, that turns out, but again, since it's James Gunn at the helm, like I have faith in him.
Yeah, I choose to have faith in him.
All right. So following that, we got a movie based off of Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which is based off Tom King's run of Supergirl in the comics. And like, based on how it sounds like it's going to be really good.
Apparently, the book is good. I haven't read it, but
I'm probably going to order it myself and see what's going on with it.
By the way, I do like how like DC is also giving like sounds like they're just taking directly from the comics. That's kind of cool.
Yes.
Like Marvel's kind of doing its own thing, which is fine, but it seems like DC wants to like kind of make or at least somewhat adaptations of like well received or well liked comics. So that's cool.
Like, I would have been mad if like they just decided to do like a carbon copy of the MCU because
right.
Superhero movies would just be, you know, the same over and over and over and over and over again. So I'm glad they're doing this instead.
Me too. And I also like the another caveat to this is we can keep going through that list, but also the Elseworlds properties they're gonna be doing where
James Gunn stressed that like Matt Reeves the Batman and you know the Todd Phillips Joker and Teen Titans Go and Harley Quinn, that's DC Elseworlds.
I think that's a really smart strategy.
Yeah. So we got Joker 2 coming out in 2024 and Batman Part 2 in 2025.
I'm looking forward to Batman Part 2 for sure.
Well, come on. There's going to be Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. Come on. You got to at least be looking forward to that, right? I'm a on!
You don't know how much I don't like that movie.
You're not even a little bit curious.
I mean, curious as in I'm be a curious bystander looking on at a car wreck.
Fine, be a salty bitch.
I mean, I don't like Todd Phillips. I don't trust he can make a good movie.
That's valid. Yeah. But I don't know. I like the Joker. So
it's just too. Yeah.
I like Joker, so I'm looking forward to the sequel.
I'm glad for you. I am curious. I like Gaga, but I'm not.
So yeah, that's what they're doing with DC Elseworlds. They are doing The Brave and the Bold as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is going to introduce the Bat family, and it will have Damian Wayne as Robin, which I am very interested in seeing, which means that, you know, Batgirl, Nightwing, Tim Drake, Jason Todd, they all already exist.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's going to be fun. And then, of course, we're going to get Swamp Thing.
Yes, I am very excited about Swamp Thing. But I am really sad that, like, the really cool first season of that show, you know, it just got its knees cut out from beneath it. I really did enjoy the TV show. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw, like, the first episode. But, like, if the movie is anything like the TV show, I would be really interested in seeing it.
Yeah, I'm just really sad. That was the last, like, DC property that, like, I really thought had, like, a lot of, like, room to continue, but they just didn't, and it just made me really deeply sad. So, like, my internal hope is that this is a continuation of that, but I know it's not. So, I hope that they do it like that.
All right. They're also doing a movie based off The Authority, which James Gunn actually said is a, quote, passion project of his. So, okay. I mean, James Gunn is passionate about something. I mean, I'm on board already.
I mean, if he's excited, that's a good sign.
I'm not familiar with the Authority characters, but I'll have to familiarize myself with them before I see the movie.
I mean, Gunn is really good at taking characters no one really knows or cares about and then making you care about them.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy being an example.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So those are the movies on the slate. When it comes to TV shows, we got Booster Gold, which
is probably my most anticipated one.
Oh yeah, easily. Like I feel like I'd have a lot of fun watching Booster Gold.
It reminds me a bit of it's sounding similar, at least maybe in humor and tone to Peacemaker, but I want to see how that plays out.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, the first series in the new DCU is something James Gunn has already written. It's an animated series called Creature Commandos.
Again, choosing characters that people aren't as as knowledgeable about. I like that a lot.
I like how he's bringing these relatively obscure DC characters to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really smart approach, which is pissing a lot of like people off online, which is funny.
Yeah, because everyone knows, you know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, etc. So I'm glad that they're bringing out some new characters. Well, not new, but new to us.
Right. I think DC's best works in recent has been these projects that have characters that are kind of new to us, you know?
Yeah, and apparently, like, Viola Davis is going to be voicing Amanda Waller in that show.
Which is awesome.
And speaking of Amanda Waller, she will also get her own HBO Max series. And this series is supposed to be a continuation of Peacemaker, since I guess Peacemaker Season 2 was delayed.
Okay. I would imagine it would be in the same universe.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. Like, so, in this series, apparently she teams up with members of Team Peacemaker.
Well, I'm glad. I like that team.
And it's going to be helmed by the people who brought us the Watchmen series and Doom Patrol.
I didn't hear that part. That's fucking awesome. Okay.
Yes.
I like both of those a lot.
Okay. Next up, we got Lanterns, which is supposed to be like a true detective style series about two Green Lanterns.
That sounds looks like a cool idea.
Stuart.
They're coming up with some really interesting concepts, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested to see this true detective-esque tone to the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of like...
Yeah. What were you gonna say?
They're kind of like detectives.
Well, I mean, they're space cops, essentially.
Oh, does ACAB include them?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yes, ACAB includes them, but they do not exist in the real world, so let's just enjoy the series.
Okay, that's fair.
If Green Lanterns existed in the real world, I would be railing against them just as much as I rail against cops.
But they're fictional.
Yes, they are fictional. Anyway, one more thing. We have Paradise Lost, which is apparently a Game of Thrones-style series about Themyscira.
Very interesting idea, too.
So, yeah, those are...
Not like a fantasy show. I kind of like touching on different genres, too, a bit.
Yeah, and then, of course, Harley Quinn is also continuing with season 4.
Oh, and the Valentine's Day special is coming out soon.
Valentine's Day special, that's right.
I'm very excited about that because, you know, looks funny and gay.
I love watching Harley Quinn. It's really fun.
Harley Quinn's great. It makes me smile every episode.
So yeah, that is the current, well, it's not all of the first chapter of the DCU, but it is what James Gunn revealed.
Yeah. I'm very, very optimistic about the future of DC. Maybe we might be in an era where people are more excited for DC properties than Marvel, but I'm not sure. We'll have to see how things roll out. I don't play the Marvel versus DC, you know, game, because I just want good stuff. That's my...
I mean, you know me. I'm kind of, like, mid on the MCU right now. But, I mean, I don't hate it. I just am kind of burnt out on it. Like, what with, like, the dizzying pace that they churn out stuff lately.
Feel like they're slowing down a bit.
All right, well, next up they got Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which the only reason I'm, like, interested in that movie is because Jonathan Majors is coming back as Kang the Conqueror, and I really liked seeing him in the Loki series, so
I thought the Loki series was great, actually.
Yeah, I really liked the Loki series, so I am very interested to see him come back.
And Loki season 2 is coming out, too.
That is true.
I'm very excited for that. But yes, I'm with you. I'm very curious how the Ant-Man film's going to handle that. I'm not as, like, on top of these new movies as I used to be.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm probably going to order, like, a copy of Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow because that story actually sounds really interesting.
Yeah, maybe I should read some of them, too. I'd like to be kind of familiar. That'd be kind of cool.
Can't remember the last time I read a comic book. I think the last time I read a comic book was the Deadpool Merc with a Mouth run.
I think when I read a comic last, it was either the Harley Quinn miniseries, like the cartoon miniseries that they released, or it was probably Junji Ito. But I guess that's more of a manga.
Well, I mean, that is
same a thing.
That is
no, a comic. I guess what I should say is it's more like horror, less superhero.
I mean, manga are technically comic books.
No, true. I think what I was trying to say is that when people think about comics, their first assumptions is always straight to the superhero
Western
stuff.
Western.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. And speaking of which, there's a new Junji Ito show on Netflix. Oh, it's an anime? Oh. Yeah, I have Maniac.
Maniac.
It's like apparently every episode's an adaptation of one of his short stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I might watch it. I'm very curious what people think of it.
Oh, by the way, Crystal, have you ever seen Love, Death, and Robots?
So I watched a couple episodes of the first season, but I fell off.
Well, watch the third season. Like, you won't regret it.
Okay.
It's still a collection of shorts like that, but the third season is like peak Love, Death, and Robots.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, like season one, I'll admit, like it's hit or miss, but season three was really good.
Okay. I still need to see VHS 99. God, there's a lot of stuff I've missed.
I only ever saw the first two VHS movies.
I recommend 94.
I know you do, but I heard VHS Viral was shit, though.
I never saw Viral, so I just went to 94. So
I need to resubscribe to Shudder, honestly.
Shudder is great. I just finished watching the documentary series. It's four episodes, Queer for Fear, and it talks about the history of queer people and queerness and horror.
Yeah, like I respect Shudder a lot more than I respect all these other streaming services.
Their content has been really good, and they're selecting really cool, interesting movies of all different types. Like you can watch something that'll make you laugh, they'll watch something that'll scare the shit out of you, and they choose films that are not like typical mainstream sort of fare. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, one of their originals is Psycho Gorman, which is Power Rangers with wet puppets.
Yes. Jazzy keeps telling me about that.
It's very fun. Or they just released Skinamarink on there.
They did?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been meaning to see that. You know, Madeline saw it, and, you know, she liked it. But, like, she said it scared the shit out of her.
Oh, that's cool. See, I know that movie is getting very mixed reception, but I have a feeling I'll probably like it because I know what it's attempting to do. It's a intentionally surreal piece of art.
Like minimalist art?
Yeah, and I think I'd probably really dig it for being like that. But I think people who wanted a more straightforward horror film were probably not really wanting to buy into it.
Well, I've heard it described as like this bizarre, nonsensical nightmare that goes on for 100 minutes.
That's kind of why I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like, yeah. That description, I'm like, okay, where the fuck do I sign?
A lot of people have said it tapped into their childhood fears. Uh-huh. Which I think is an interesting approach because I read the description of the movie on Shudder. Not to read the whole thing, I didn't want to get spoiled, but they said, like, it's two children and their parents aren't home, and suddenly the doors and windows are gone from their house, and they're stuck inside. And that's it.
I'm probably going to have to watch it during the daytime.
People have said you should watch it with headphones at night.
Oh, my God. Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to that. I watched a few movies recently. I finally saw Crimes of the Future, which I actually thought was phenomenal. I saw all the reviews on like IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes giving it like 50%. I was just like, oh, that's disappointing. But like, and then I actually watched the movie. I'm like, what the fuck are people talking about? This movie rocks.
So,
I get it. Cronenberg's a, you have to appreciate his style.
True. You're going to see Infinity Pool soon too, right?
I did see him. No, I haven't seen Infinity Pool. Whenever I can, I'll see it. I probably won't go to a theater because I'm not really spending much money these days, but, I will see it as soon as humanly possible. But I did see Brandon Cronenberg's, other film, Possessor, because it's available and cut on, Hulu. And that movie was awesome too.
Damn.
Between Crimes of the Future and Possessor, I would go with Crimes of the Future. I think I prefer his father's style. It speaks to me a bit more. But I think Brandon is a talented filmmaker, and I think Possessor is a really interesting film.
I'll have to check it out.
I'll have to check out Infinity Pool.
Is that also on Shudder?
No, Possessor's on Hulu.
Okay.
The good thing is it's the uncut version of the movie, so it's gorier and has more nudity.
Well, that plays right into my wheelhouse.
apparently the nudity they cut in the theatrical version is an important piece of story bit. So, you know, like, it's weird. But see the uncut version. See the uncut version. It's worth it.
All right. That I will do.
So, I think we are, since it's just the two of us, we are getting sort of towards the end. Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up that we hadn't brought up so far before we wrap up?
No, I think I said everything I wanted to say tonight.
So, I mean, that makes sense. I'm going to bring up something quickly in that, I brought this up quickly on, did you play any of the Dead Space games?
I have not.
Okay. I think you would love Dead Space.
Oh, I doubt that I would like Dead Space. I just never got around to it.
The remake is out now, and I really fucking want it, but I don't have $60 to spend on a new game. I love the original. I think it's scary, and I think it has some of the most intense and atmospheric sound design I've ever heard in a horror video game. It's genuinely eerie. Like, imagine just walking into a space station, like, that you know is just empty and crawling with things you think. And you just go in, and they don't immediately jump at you with things. You have to walk around through the dark corridors of a space station that makes sounds and has air and oxygen moving through it. So they make sure that you hear every sound of a creaking space station.
That sounds like I'd like it.
I think you really would. And from what I've seen in the clips of the remake, looks like they did a fucking phenomenal job. Like, it looks like there was a lot of love and care put into this remake. It's probably the ultimate version, way to play the game. I want to say two things about it before we wrap up, because I love the original game so much. One, there is a hilarious Easter egg in the game that you can probably find on YouTube where there is a room with a TV in it, or like a screen in it, and there is a sort of pentagram that's drawn on the floor. And if you stand in the middle of the pentagram and do some like controller button like inputs, suddenly an audio log will pop on the floor and you can pick it up. And the audio log is members of the crew singing that like sea shanty, the one that soon may the weathermen come. You know that song?
Yes, I do know that.
Okay, but they changed all the lyrics to be in relation to the story of Dead Space.
Gotcha.
So that's a really fun and funny Easter egg, which I think is awesome. And the other awesome thing is the game is already making right-wing chuds upset because the bathrooms are no longer gender segregated. They have signs that say they're gender-neutral bathrooms. That's it. They're angry at that. So, highly recommend you play Dead Space if you haven't. I've not played Dead Space 3, but the first two games are phenomenal. And I think with that being said, I think it's time we wrap up.
All right, Crystal, you want to tell us your links?
Yes, you can follow me at Crystal W. Rocks on Twitter. You can also go to my bio and see all the links. I have a link tree, and you can go to links and get all my social media information, including my Medium where I write occasionally. So, yeah, if you want to get in touch with me, that's where you go. Ash?
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at AshySlashy and on Letterboxd. Oh, no, I'm sorry, on Letterboxd at AshySlashy. And on Twitter at Ashy Groovy.
Definitely go follow her. And with that being said, Thank you for listening to another episode of the Gauza Geekdom podcast. We love you all. We'll see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.